Our reading today comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Oh, I'm throwing things on the floor. That's not good. So this group of believers, these followers of Jesus, they're in Jerusalem, like I said, and they're gathered together during Pentecost, which was this festival of thanksgiving. But I imagine that it may not have felt very festive to them. I imagine that they are still grieving the death of their friend Jesus, and that they are still fearful for their own lives. I imagine that would make it pretty hard to be festive. They're gathered together and they're waiting because Jesus told them to. They're waiting for the promise of the Father, for baptism by the Holy Spirit that Jesus said was coming, so that they can testify about Jesus to the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus said. That's the promise that he made to them. That's what he told them to wait for. But I imagine that was a hard thing to believe. They didn't have telephones, obviously, or technology, or even means of transportation easily. So how could they testify to the ends of the earth? And they lived in a world where people were regularly crucified by the government. That doesn't exactly encourage bold speech. So how could they testify in a world like that? And yet, here comes the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus said, as unpredictable and uncontrollable as a rushing wind. The Spirit came like wind, powerful, moving things, stirring things up, and changing the atmosphere. The Spirit came like fire, like burning inspiration that can't be quelled or extinguished. Just like Jesus promised, God sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the next thing you know, they are proclaiming the gospel to people from the ends of the earth in all different languages. This is an awesome story. And there's so much good news in it. But I'm just going to pull out three things I want to tell you so that we can get to our potluck, right? So the first thing I want to pull out is the good news that God sends the Holy Spirit to the entire gathered community. No exceptions. The Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind and filled the entire house. The Holy Spirit came like tongues of fire and rested on each and every one of them. The whole community, the young, the old, men and women, servants, the cynical, the brash, the fearful, the brave, every single one received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, since then, the church has tried to limit who's allowed to speak words inspired by God. But this story is such a good reminder that God has always poured out the Holy Spirit on all types of people, and that it is completely outside of our control. It's also a wonderful reminder that we are included in that hodgepodge group of people. The Holy Spirit comes to the whole community. Years ago, I preached a sermon on the danger of showing up on this text, because that's all these people did. They were just there. They just showed up. And each and every one of them is gifted by the Holy Spirit. Even the ones nodding off in the corner, the ones that aren't really sure why they're there, or who maybe just came with a friend, the ones who are having a bad day, or who don't think that they have very much to offer. Each and every one is filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The second thing I want to pull out is the good news that God enables the church to proclaim the gospel in ways that people will understand through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Spirit did that day. It wasn't just a gobbledygook hodgepodge of different languages. It was the languages of the people who were there so that they could understand. And this is so important, because somewhere along the line, the church began to require that people coming in learned the language of the church. But here in the beginning of the church, God sent the followers out to speak in the languages of the world, to speak the gospel in words that people already knew and could understand. So what does that mean for us? For me and people planning worship, it means that we don't fall into that churchy language. It's a real risk for pastors. You know, we go away for 4 years and we learn all these fancy words, and then we come back and we're like, oh, I want to show off. But really, it's remembering to speak in simple language that everyone knows the basic and profound truth that God loves us. and for all of us to realize that we already have the words. You don't need to know the 50-cent theological words that nobody really understands, because that's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to speak to people in the language we already speak, in the language they already speak. However it is that you speak to your friends, and whatever language it is that you speak to your family, to your colleagues, to the people that are in your life, that is the language we are called to use to speak the truth of our experience of God's love in our lives, to speak the truth of what God has done for us and how we know that love and how we feel called to share it. This good news that you already have the language, that you've already been empowered. I'm going to share a joke that came from the Synod Assembly. Bishop Reinhardt out of Texas shared this old joke many of you may have heard. What happens when you cross a Lutheran with a Jehovah's Witness? What do you get? Anyone who wasn't at the assembly know? Tom, put your hand down. Someone who knocks on doors and has absolutely nothing to say. Okay? And he talked about the fact that our heritage is, you know, Germanic, Scandinavian, people who aren't necessarily quick to talk about their emotions or their spirituality, their religion. But we do have the language. Whatever that language is, you have it. All you have to do is share your truth, share your story, share your experience. Now, the last thing that I want to pull out of this story is the one that probably speaks to me the most today, and that is the good news that God sends the Holy Spirit to a grieving and fearful church. The believers were heartbroken, and they were scared, and they had every reason to be. They had very real reasons to be grieving and to be frightened, and I imagine that the call to be the church in that moment may have felt downright impossible to them. I imagine that they felt overwhelmed by the brokenness of the world around them. And yet, in blows the Holy Spirit. In blows the Holy Spirit, giving them prophetic voices, giving them language and words to share the gospel that they didn't even know that they had. In blows the Holy Spirit empowering them and enabling them to proclaim the gospel in the very midst of their fear and their pain and their grief. I find that to be such good news, because our world is full of pain and fear and grief. And in the midst of that, our call to be the church can feel impossible. But the good news is that just like those first believers, we are not called to do it on our own. We are called together as community. And God sends us the Holy Spirit, blows the Holy Spirit into the depths of our struggles. God sends the Holy Spirit to stir up and empower our community, to move us, to inspire us, to give us strength and courage. And God sends the Holy Spirit to give us the words. Words that we might not even know that we have, so that we can share the good news of God's love with the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.